Kol set, we're here in Megillah on Daf Beis Amud Beis. And you can count up from the bottom of the Amud, one, two, three lines up. Amar Rab Yirmiyah ve'itamer Rab Chiya bar Abba. We started this sugya yesterday, and we want to revisit the sugya and see if we can solve some of the issues in the Shakla v'Tarya, and maybe we'll be able to, as our goal, learn this Tosus, which is actually the first Tosus in the Masechta Megillah. And as I told you, we want to learn selected Tosus, and why not start with the first one? Or at least the first half of the first one. Om Rab Yirmiyah v'itema Rab Chiya bar Abba mansepach tzofim amoron. So these are the five letters which were introduced by the Nevi'im. The Tzofim, we quoted yesterday two psukim in Tanakh, one from Yeshayahu Anovi called Tzofecha, and one from Shmuel Anovi, where it says, Ish echad min ha'masayim Tzofim, to darshan, to prove that the word Tzofim means Nevi'im. They're the seers who see way beyond what we see, because they have Nevuah from Hashem. And these Tzofim, and here we mention the sheet of the Gaon. The Gaon has a very unique sheet. The Mefarshim go to town. Why is the order Mansapach with a Chaf left at the end? Actually, Chaf is the earliest letter in the alphabet. The Seder Aleph Beis amongst these five letters, it should have started with the Chaf and then gone on to actually the Mem, etc., etc. And although some of the Mefarshim want to answer that this Mansapach is a kind of notrikun, and whether it's really a reference or an allusion, if you will, to the Tzofim, and that's why it's ordered in that way, Minat Tzofim, but the Gaon has a unique sheet, and he wants to suggest that it wasn't that in one fell swoop the Nevi'im at one point in time introduced all five letters, but rather this went on over the course of hundreds of years, over the course of a long period of time. There were 200 Nevi'im, the Gemara is going to tell us later on, and during different periods they introduced different letters. And the first letter historically that they introduced was in fact the Mem. And that's why the Mem came first. The last of the letters to be introduced was the Chaf. But now we get to the main question for today. And that is, what did they introduce? Did they introduce the what we call the Psuchos? Or did they introduce the Stumos? These five letters are unique amongst the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis in that they each of these five respectively have both a stuma and a psucha. So for example, if you would take the word mayim, which appears actually in the Aseres HaDibros, the mem at the beginning of the letter, that would be a mem psucha, and the mem at the end of the letter would be a mem stuma, which would be a mem sophist that belongs at the end of a word. So the entire enterprise of breaking the mem into two categories, a psucha and a stuma, and the same is true for the balance of the other four letters, was enacted by the tzofim, by the nevi'im, over this long period of time. Now, the Ritva is bothered by the following question. We already recognize a psucha and a stuma from the Aseres HaDibros, from the Luchos HaEdus, which were in the Aron HaBris. Because if you just take the word mayim, for example, but you can go through many, many tens of words, you know, the mayim has both a mem psucha and a mem stuma. And therefore the Ritva assumes that the entire episode here, the entire enterprise of Nevi'im Amrum, took place during the time of Yeshayahu HaMelech, when the Aron was lost. Li'achar shenigdas ha'aron. So we no longer have the Luchos HaBris, so we can't check out the original and genuine writing of the letters that as it was reflected in the Aseres HaDibros, in the Luchos HaBris. So that's not an option because it was Begnizah. You might ask another question, according to the Ritva, why not check the Sifrei Torah? And certainly there were hundreds, if not thousands, of Sifrei Torah before the Nevi'im came onto the stage of history. What was in the Sifrei Torah? So you have to assume that at some point, as the Gemara is going to say later, shachachu, that a lot was forgotten, and there may have been Sifrei Torah that were written this way, and there was Sifrei Torah that were written that way. In some cases, maybe consistently the Mem Psucha was used, or the Mem Stuma was used, or maybe there was a differentiation. And again, where you put the Mem Stuma, where you put the Mem Psucha, that was also a matter of confusion. This is all Shachachu, which again, historically, according to the Midrash, should be identified with Li'achar, Shenignas Ha'oron, V'Haluchos Bimei Yoshio Hamel. But now we have to ask the most important question for today, and that is, what exactly, with regard to these five letters, did the Tzofim introduce? And there are two possibilities. Did they introduce the Psuchos, meaning the Stumos were well known? So for example, if you take the Mem, the Mem Stuma, the closed Mem, was well known. Or shall we say no? The Sofim did not introduce the Mem Psucha, but on the contrary, they introduced the Mem Stuma. In other words, we would assume that after Shachachum, there was one Mem, and the same is true for the other four letters. There was one Nun, there was one Tzadi, etc. But what was it? Was it a Psucha or was it a Stuma? And whatever it was, the Tzofim introduced the other one. In other words, if we assume that what they knew about clearly before the Tzofim came on the horizon was the Psuchos, then the Tzofim introduced the Psuchos. And if what was known was the Stumos, then the Tzofim introduced the Psuchos. So what is the Gemara assuming here as far as the Nevi'im are concerned? What did they introduce? Now we'll soon see Tosus inside. He's going to really tackle this problem head on. He has a sugya in Perek Avot in Shabbos, and he's going to compare and contrast our sugya in Megillah with the sugya in Shabbos. But one point we can take from Tosfos straight off the bat, and that is that the Gemara, when it raises, as we'll soon see, and that's the next line in the Gemara, two objections, not one objection, but two kashas on Rabbi Yirmiyah. The first kasha is totally parva, or can go either way, we'll call it ACDC, as far as that question, what exactly did the Nevi'im introduce? Did they introduce the Psuchos of these five letters or the Stumos of these five letters? I mean, Manavshach, no matter how you slice the cake, the Gemara's first objection is on target. And why is that? For Tisbro, says the Gemara, Variksiv Eilam Mitzvahs, and the Chazal derived from Eilam Mitzvahs, the word Eilam is a mute, is an exclusion, She'ein Novi Rashoi L'chadish Dover Me'ata. The Novi can't introduce a new breakthrough in the Torah. And if that be the case, then whether or not the Tzofim introduced the breakthrough of the Psuchos, or whether they introduced the breakthrough of the Stumos, either way, the Gemara has the same objection of Ein Novi Rashoi L'charish Bandov. What becomes critical here is the V'od, the second question. And in the context of the second question, we have to really come to grips with the question, what did the Nevi'im introduce, the Psuchos or the Stumos? But before we get to that, within the framework of the first Kash of the Gemara, of Eilam Mitzvahs Ein Rasha, Ein Novi Rasha L'Chadish Badovar, let's analyze the Gemara's Kasha, and indeed the Pasuk that's being invoked over here, the Drasha that's being invoked, from two perspectives. The perspective of what we call the Sifsei Chachamim, and the perspective of the Marsha. And what is this all about? If you open up the Chumash and you look for the words Eilam Mitzvahs, like today we can do a word search, you will find two psukim, not one, but two, in the Torah that begin with Eilam Mitzvahs. What's common to both of them, other than the fact that these verses start with Eilam Mitzvahs, is that they both appear as the last pasuk in one of the Chumashim. So which pasuk is the Gemara quoting here when it says Elam Mitzvahs, the Sifsei Chachamim, and that's reflective. You take a look on the page in the Torah R, he pinpoints the last pasuk in Sefer Vayikra, in Chav Zion, or Vayikra, in Parashas B'chukosai, Elam Mitzvahs, Asher Tziva Hashem es Moshe El Bnei Yisrael Bahar Sinai. Now, the good news is that the pasuk emphasizes Elam Mitzvahs, etc., Bahar Sinai, and that allows the Sifsei Chachamim to derive, into again the way he understands the drasha, to derive the conclusion from Elam Mitzvahs Bahar Sinai that anything that's related to Har Sinai in the broadest sense, I'll explain, is included in this exclusion of Ela, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu, but not from the Neviim Acherim. Now, why is it so important for the Sifsei Chachamim to expand the nature of Ela Mitzvos? And he does so because the end of the pasuk says Bar Sinai. What's bothering the mind of the Sifsei Chachamim is that if the Ela here, the Mi'ud of Ela, which is excluding the Vim other than Moshe Rabbeinu, is HaMitzvos, then our whole sugya makes no sense. So claims the Sifsei Chachamim, because our sugya is using this principle derived from Ela HaMitzvos to undermine Rabbi Yirmiyah, that the Tzofim could have added Osios to the Torah. Meaning that as far as the Torah is concerned, these five letters of Mansfach have only one os. The Nevi'im come along and they add another os, meaning that the Mem really has two Mems. There's a Mem, Mem Pshuta and a Mem Stuma. Why is that a violation of Ela HaMitzvos? We're not talking about a mitzvah. Hosofas Osios is not a mitzvah. I mean, just to give you an example of what I think is bothering, of the kind of question that the Sifsei Chachamim would raise, is Ezra Sofer, as the Gemara quotes it in Sanhedrin Chaf Aleph, changed the Ksav. You know, you have Ksav Imri, Ksav Ashuri. Why doesn't the Gemara object and say that Eila Dvarim Ein Novi Rashoi L'Chadish Badov? So if you take a look in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and according to that Man D'Omer in Sanhedrin, that Ezra Shina Saksav, what about the principle of Ein Novi Rashoi L'Chadish Badov? So one possible answer that you could give is that Shini Aksav is not noged to a mitzvah, it's noged to the broader definition, the all-inclusive definition of Har Sinai. Har Sinai meaning Kol HaTorah Kula, not just the mitzvot. There's a major chunk of knowledge in the Torah that goes way beyond the mitzvot and the mishpatim. And yet, to our surprise, Tosfos, as quoted by both the Rashba and the Ritva in Sanhedrin, answers this question by saying, how do we justify that Ezra changed the Ksav? Isn't that a Chiddush Badavar? And Tosfos is compelled to answer, Kra Ashkach Vidorosh, that it wasn't that Ezra as a Navi came along with this Chiddush of Shini Aksav, but that he derived it from Pesukim in Tanakh, and that doesn't come under a violation, that's not a violation of Ein Navi Rashoi L'Chadish Badavar. Here the Navi is playing the role of interpreting the law, not creating or changing the law. And what you see is that the Gemara, according to Tosfos, applies the principle of Ein Novi Rashoi L'Chadish Badavar even to Shini Aksav, despite the fact that Shini Aksav is not an impingement or doesn't undermine a mitzvah. Says the Sifsei Chachamim, so too in the case of Shini Osios, of Tzuras Osios, in which the Tzofim are adding Psuchos or Stumos to that very same os, that's not a violation of Ein Novi Rashoi L'Chadish Badov, if you assume that Ein Novi Rashoi L'Chadish has a narrow scope and it only applies to Eilat Mitzvahs, what was the Gemara's therefore objection here? And the answer must be that don't limit yourself to Eilat Mitzvahs in the context of this principle of Ein Novi Rashoi L'Chadish Badov, but any shinui in the Torah itself in what we call Har Sinai, even if it's not a shinui in the Torah and its mitzvos, would come under the principle, if the Navi did it, of Ein Navi Rashai L'Chadish Badova. So claims the Sifsei Chachmon. However, the Marsha says that there's another pasuk with this, that opens with the same two words, Eila Mitzvos, which he believes is the pasuk that our Sugya of Yirmiyah and the objection to Rabbi Yirmiyah is referring to, and that's the last pasuk in Sefer Bamidbar, not the last pasuk in Sefer Vayikra, B'chukosai, but rather the last pasuk in Parshas Masai in Bamidbar. And there, the Torah says, at the end of Sefer Bamidbar, Eile ha-mitzvot ve-ha-mishpotim asher tziva Hashem b'yad Moshe el b'nei Yisrael, etc. So that there's good news and there's bad news. Let's start with the bad news. The bad news is if the Marsha is inflexing is flexing this muscle of the pasuk at the end of Parshas Masai, Eila Mitzvos, Vamishpatim, etc., etc. And keep in mind, Rabbi Osai, there's no mention of Har Sinai over here. Then we have to be bothered by the following question. Why is Shinui Osios, not Shinui Aksav, but rather Hosofas Osios, why is that a violation of Eilat Mitzvos? And you can't give the answer of Har Sinai, because if the Marsha is insisting that the Pasuk here of Eilat Mitzvos is the last Pasuk in Sefer Bamidbar, there's no mention there of Har Sinai. So therefore, we should really restrict our discussion here, as far as the authority of the Nevi'im is concerned, to Eilat Mitzvos, Eilat Mitzvos HaMishpot. And this leads the Marsha to two major conclusions. Conclusion number one is that Eino Chinami, the principle of Ein Novi Rashoi L'Chadish Dover, does not encompass, does not apply to the entire corpus of Har Sinai, but only to a specific part of Har Sinai, and that's called Mitzvos V'Mishpatim. So if the Novi comes to use Nevuah and change a Mitzvah, adding or subtracting, or a Mishpat in the Torah, that's going to be a violation of Ein Novi Rashoi L'Chadish Badov. That's point number one. Point number two, according to the Marsha, is that the issue of Mansapach Sofim Amorim is going to be an issue which, as we said before, based on the Gemara's Kasha, impinges or changes the Eila HaTorah VaMitzvos of Ezra. And how is that so? I mean, after all, isn't it similar to Shini Aksav, which is something that Ezra envisioned? What makes the Stumos and the Psuchos of Mansapach a change in Eila Mitzvos HaMishpatim? And the answer is in Hilchos Sefer Torah, in Hilchos Get, in Hilchos Ksiva B'Shabbos. Ksiva is a universal concept, and you're chayav for two osios in Ksiva. Same thing in Get, for Kosav Lo Sefer, because you need Ksiva, and of course you need Ksiva in Sefer Torah. So now the question is, what do you do in the case of a chilufin? And instead of a psucha, you find a stuma, and vice versa. And the answer is that this could have an impact on the kashas or the pasus of a Sefer Torah, etc., etc. If the Sefer Torah has the word Shimon, and the mem of Shimon is a mem stuma, then in the light of Sofim Amorim, Matzapach Sofim Amorim, this Sefer Torah has to be possible. So the impact of the Takana, or shall we say The Hosofa of the Tzofim Amorim in Mansapach, that has tremendous halachic repercussions on the kashrus of a get, and certainly on the kashrus of a Sefer Torah. And therefore, says the Marashah, this is a violation of Eila Mitzvah Samishpotim, Asher Tziva Hashem Biad Moshe, meaning Biad Moshe only, and not beyond that. No other Navi has a right to change the halach, change a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah. There's halacha to read from a Sefer Torah. And you're going to tell me, well, don't you dare read from this Sefer Torah because there's a Shini Osios. And if that's the impact of the Mansapach Tzofim Amoram, then we're in violation of the principle of Ein Novi Rashoy L'Chadish Badova. So again, just to summarize, before we go to Tosfos, the machlokas between the Sifsei Chachamim and the Marsha, on a technical level, the machlokas is what pasuk is the Gemara quoting. And the Sifsei Chachamim insists the Gemara is quoting the pasuk at the end of Vayikra. He has to ask himself, so how does that pasuk indicate that Ein Novi Rashoy L'Chadish B'Dovah, even with regard to Tzuras HaOsios, which is certainly not Eilat Mitzvos? And the answer is because at the end of the pasuk it says Bar Sinai, which includes within it the entire gamut of Torah as given to Bnei Yisrael through Moshe Rabbeinu, who received it at Har Sinai. Anything that Moshe Rabbeinu received at Har Sinai is not a subject of debate in subsequent historical periods. Even in the period of Nevuah, no Nevi'im can contradict Moshe Rabbeinu, adding or subtracting to the Har Sinai experience, the all-inclusive Torah experience. And therefore, the Gemara raises the objection to Rav Yirmiya in terms of Shinui Tzuras HaOsios, because that itself is a change in the Har Sinai. So you can't say that, well we're going to change something that's not relevant to mitzvos, and therefore we, the Nevi'im, have right to do so. We're entitled or authorized to do so. No, that's not true. You cannot add anything that contradicts Kol HaTorah Kula that was given at Har Sinai. As far as Moshe is concerned, Moshe has this unique status, as we discussed yesterday, of Chefetz Shel Torah. So that's one way of going here in this sugya, that we're expanding the violation of the Navi here and the scope of Ein Novi Rashoy L'Chadish B'Dovah to include all of Har Sinai, including Shini Tzuras HaOsios. The Marsha is a different pasuk. His pasuk is at the end of Sefer Bamidbar, and the question is, why does it belong there? I mean, after all, you know, we still have another Chumash at the end of Dvarim. Eila Mitzvah should be closing all the mitzvahs in one set, you know, hermetically sealing this corpus called Eila Mitzvahs. Why is the pasuk appearing at the end of Parashas Masai, at the end of Sefer Bamidbar? It should be at the end of the Chumash. And then we should say, Eila Mitzvahs, you can't add anything to the mitzvahs that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu. So if in the context of the Sifsei Chachamim, we understand why this pasuk appears at the end of Vayikra, which in a sense is like in the middle of the Torah, the answer is because this pasuk mentions Har Sinai, which means anything that's included in that which is given to Moshe Ben Arsina, which includes Klolos and Protios, everything. The Marsha, on the other hand, introduces the pasuk at the end of Dvarim, of Bamidbar, and when he asks himself the question, why is this pasuk that limits the parameters, the scope of the authority of the Nevi'im, why does it appear at the end of Masai? And the answer is because anything beyond Masai is called Mishneh Torah. And the halach of Ein Adam Rashoy L'Chadish B'Dovar, and even Ein Navi Rashoy L'Chadish B'Dovar, that's going to apply based on this pasuk to the general context in which this pasuk appears. Again, we're trying to answer, according to Marsha, why does this pasuk appear, what's unique about this pasuk that should appear in Sefer Bamidbar, Lechora, the proper place, its comfortable location should have been at the end of the Torah itself, after Dvarim. says the Marsha that this pasuk at the end of Dvar, at the end of Bamidbar, Eila Mitzvos, appears in the context of Bnos Slavchad. The Bnos Slavchad situation was such that it led to a perplexing ambiguity in the halach itself, as far as Yerusha is concerned. And now, what's going to happen is that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to get a nevuah to clarify and respond to the issue on the table, namely the issue of who gets the nachla and whether Bnos Slavchad were right in their claim. But now the Torah says Eila, meaning only Moshe Rabbeinu, who received in that context of Bnos Slavchad, he received the answer to the question of nevuah. He's the only Navi that could take this nevuah and paste it into the Torah, so to speak. And then if he pastes it into the Torah, it becomes a chefsel shel Torah. But that's why, and that's how the Marsha justifies that this pasuk appears at the end of Sefer Bamidbar. He goes one step further and he says, beyond Sefer Bamidbar, that's already Mishneh Torah. That's already some sort of a tamtziti review of the Torah. You know, reviewing the Torah in its bare bones way, in a fundamental way. And that's what this whole endeavor is going to be. But as far as the mitzvah of the Torah before Mishneh Torah, culminating at the end of Sefer Bamidbar, that's where the Torah tells us that it was Moshe Rabbeinu who had the authority to describe and define and categorize the Torah itself. Eile ha-mitzvos v'ha-mishpotim v'sha-tziva Hashem v'yad Moshe. Interesting. This pasuk at the end of Sefer Bamidbar is an extension of what we know as the establishing and the clarification of mitzvot similar to Bnos Slavchad. Eile, Moshe Rabbeinu, no other Navi can be involved. And why? Because Eila mitzvah samishpatim, you clarify the halach itself, you clarify the mitzvah itself, the nature of the mitzvah, in the case of Yerusha, to divvy up the Yerusha, does it go to the Bonos or not, Bnos Slavchad, all that is given exclusively to Moshe Rabbeinu through his nevuah is a Heftah Shal Torah, as we discussed yesterday, and that has a unique status. But no one, no Navi through nevuah can question the nevuah's Moshe Rabbeinu b'Torah's Torah. And that's derived from this V'eila mitzvos in the context at the end of Sefer Bamidbar of the Bnos Slavchad. And therefore the Marsha says, to the extent that introducing in Mansapach either the Psuchos or the Stumos, whatever it might be, is going to have an impact on the Halacha, on the Torah mitzvos, on the Mishpatim, on the laws and the status of the Sefer Torah, in that context it's a violation of the principle of Ein Novi Rashoi L'Chadish Bontov. Now we get back to our main question for today that I mentioned earlier. What kind of os in these five cases did the Tzofim introduce? Was it an os psucha in the middle of the word or an os stuma at the end of the word? So herein, Tosfos finds a contradiction between two sugyas. The sugya in Perek Abone in Shabbos and the sugya here in Megillah. Now, in order to give a little bit of background to this Tosfos, which has a special yichus for us because it's the very first Tosfos in the Masechta, so we want to add the following point. The Gemara in Masechta Shabbos raises a kasha. Now, that kasha is based on the premise that, just one second, let me just get the calculation, that it was the psuchos which the Tzofim introduced. And that contradicts our sugya, because our sugya operates with the assumption that, on the contrary, the Tzofim introduced the Stumos. Now, how does Tosfos know that in the Gemara in Shabbos on Kuf Dalet Amud Beis, the premise of the Gemara was that the Tzofim introduced the Psuchos. And the answer is as follows. Hashta Salka Daitach, here, says Tosfos, in the context of the Sugya Megillah, the Gemara understood that the Takana of Mansapach of the Nevi'im was Stumos. Do we have that? And has Tosfos know this? Because our Gemara is going to object to Mansapach Tzofim Amorim. I'm going to prove to you that we already have the Stumos way before the Tzofim in the Luchos HaBris. How do I know that the Stumos were in the Luchos HaBris? That's the Sugya of Rav Chisda. The Rav Chisda says, and let's quote the statement of Rav Chisda, that Mem, we'll focus on the Mem because that's what's relevant to us, Shebel Luchos, Bines Hayu Odin, meaning since the Luchos could be seen from both directions, then there was a great miracle in the Mem, because the middle of the Mem, insofar as the Mem being a square letter, is suspended in midair. There's nothing holding it, as opposed to all the other letters. This is an obvious reference to the Mem Stuma. So therefore, our Gemara raises the objection. How can you tell me, Rabbi Yirmiyah, that it was the Tzofim who introduced Mem in the Mansapach? Namely, the Mem Stuma, we already have the Mem Stuma back at the time of the giving of the Torah in the Luchos HaBris. And I'll prove to you that they already have the Mem Stuma from the statement of Rav Chisda, that Rav Chisda says that the Mem of the Aseres HaDibros, the great miracle, is that it didn't fall apart, and the middle of the Mem, which was chiseled out from both sides, was still hanging suspended in midair. But obviously, our Gemara is assuming that what the Tzofim introduced were the Stumos. And therefore the Kasha is, well, that's not so, because from Rav Chisda we derive that the Stumos predated the Tzofim by a long period of time. We'll call it millions of years, so to speak. Now Tosfos wants to prove that the exact opposite is true in the Sugya, the context of the Sugya in Shabbos Kuf Dal. That's Umakshim V'teima de Mimsech de Shabbos V'perek Abona Mashme Ipcha. That the Gemara assumes that on the contrary, the Tzofim introduced the Psuchos. How do I know this from that's the premise of the Gemara in Shabbos, antithetical to our Gemara? The Gemara, after quoting Rav Chisda's business about the Mem Psucha being Omei Benes, the Gemara says also Meres. What we can derive from Rav Chisda is the conclusion of Shem Mishimon, because on Shabbos you have to write Shtei Osils to be Chai from Leches Kosev, and in the case of Shem Mishimon, if he writes the first two letters of Shimon, he's going to be Chai. Now the question is, why is he Chai for Shem Mishimon if after all he wrote the Mem as a Mem Stuma to get the word Shem? But his intention was to write Shimon, so from the perspective of his intention, he really wanted a Mem Psucha, and he mistakenly wrote it as a Stuma. And the Gemara is going to prove, based on Rav Chisda, that you could be chayav for making the switch, meaning intending to write a Mem Psucha and writing instead of Mem Stuma. That's called Shem Mishimon, and it should go the other way around as well. Because if Stuma and Psucha not Shinu Tzura Sa'os, then if your intention was to write a Stuma and you wrote a Psucha, that also should be okay. It should be kosher. And all this is derived from Rav Chisda. And the Gemara The Gemara therefore says that just like when he wanted to write a stuma, a psucha in Shimon, in the Menem of Shimon, instead he wrote a stuma, he's chayev, they're interchangeable. He didn't do any harm to the Tzuras HaPus. So to the opposite case, he should be okay. Well, okay in terms of violating Lecha Shabbos, so that's not exactly okay because he's going to be chayev skila, but he'll be in violation. It's considered a ksiva, even if his intention was to write a psucha, and instead he wrote a stuma. Again, in the case of Shemi Shimon, let's go over the mathematics. He intended to write a psucha of the word Shimon, and instead he wrote a stuma. So too the other way around. If his intention was to write a psucha and he wrote a stuma, that should be okay. And the Gemara says the following: Bishleim, I can make the fine distinction based on Rav Chisda Pasuach Veaso Sosum. If his intention was to write Shimon, and instead he wrote Shem, so he means he mistakenly wrote a stuma instead of psucha, that's okay. If you want to tell me that there's no shini in Tzuras HaOs, he's chayef yishuv lechus kosei. The reason for that is iluye alia, meaning by writing a stuma instead of a psucha, he jacks up the chashivus, the yachsin. The stuma is the yachsin. The mem stuma is in the luchos already, and that gives it a certain yichus. And if that be the case, then I can justify why he'd be chayev for substituting a stuma when he wanted a psucha, and he wrote Shem instead of Shimon. And the reason for that is because Iluye Alye, because he's only enhancing the mem by going from a lower madriga of a psucha to a high madriga of a stuma. Now, ask yourself the question, how does the Gemara know Iluye Alye? You know, we have such a concept in Shmira, and Shomer Shemassel Shomer Bamitziah, if a Shomer Chinam gives it over to Shomer Sachar, that's Iluye Alye L'Shmirasa. But what's the Iluye Alye in a case where instead of writing the Mem Psuch of Shimon, he wrote the Mem Stuma? Why is that Iluye Alye? So the Gemara says, the Omer Rav Chisda, because Rav Chisda says that the Mem of the Luchos was Bnes Hayu Omed, which means that the Mem Stuma was already in the Luchos HaBris. And that gives the Mem Stuma a very high-powered status. Al Sosum V'Aso Pasuach, how do you derive the conclusion that if he was meant to write a, and that's what he intended to write a stuma, and instead he wrote a psucha, wow, that's Geruye Agari. Then he's lowering the level of the mem. And the Gemara now illustrates that the mem psucha is inferior, you know, it's less of a yachsan, has less chashivas than the mem stuma. Again, the first proof, as we said before, is from the fact that the mem stuma was in the luchos habris. But that the Gemara feels is not enough. I'll give you a further proof that the psucha is less of a yachsan than the stuma. The Omer Abiyumi of Matzapach Sofim Amoro. And if it was introduced, again, we'll come back to the question what the it is, but if it was introduced, according to Rabbi Yirmiyah, by the Nevi'im, implying that as far as the period of time of the Torah itself and the Maimed Har Sinai, it was not there, then it must be that's inferior. So what's the letter that, according to Rabbi Yirmiyah, that Sofim introduced? It's got to be a psucha. Because again, the Gemara wants to prove, based on Rabbi Yirmiyah, that Sosim Vaso Pasuach is Gruyei Ariyah, Gariyah. So what that means is that according to Rabbi Yirmiyah, the psucha is inferior, and that proves therefore it should not be, should not constitute a ksiva, qualifies a ksiva. And the Gemara proves that from Rabbi Yirmiyah. Now obviously it means that Rabbi Yirmiyah was adding something that didn't exist before him, and therefore becomes tofel because it becomes less choshev, and that would have to be the psucha. Because again, we want to prove that sosav asom pasuch is griye garye, that the status of pasuch is less respectable, if you will, less significant than that of a psucha. I'm sorry, than that of a stuma. And therefore he made the switch, and he wrote a psucha in place of a stuma, that's called griye garye, and it should go down a level. That's all based on the fact that Rabbi Yirmiyah pointed out that the psuchos were invented, so to speak, or established by the sofim, as opposed to the stuma, which is in the Luchas Abris. Then you see clearly that the premise of the sugya in Habona, as we said earlier, is that the Tzofim introduced the psuchos, and that's antithetical to our assumption here in Megillah, namely that the Tzofim introduced the stumos. Has Tosis know that the Tzofim introduced the stumos according to our sugya Megillah? From the fact that the Gemara contests and presents a contradiction to the Tzofim from Rav Chisda, and Rav Chisda is talking about the Stuma. Just to summarize Tosfos Kasha, whereas the premise in our sugya in Megillah is clearly that Tzofim Amoram, with regard to Matzah Pach, is the Chiddush of Stumos, and that's why the Gemara raised the objection from Rav Chisda. The premise of the Gemara in Shabbos is that the Tzofim will mechadish the Psuchos, and therefore it's Gruye Garye in comparison to the Stumos, which are in the Luchos themselves, not an addition of Takanas HaNeviyin. So Tosis answers, "V'mitaritz v'yomari the Gemara the Shabbos Masik Leu Ktoni Diyada Mitchila Milsa de Rav Chisda." The Gemara's presentation in Shabbos begins with Rav Chisda. It wasn't a new idea that, as it is here in Megillah, to present Rav Chisda. They started with the original sugya starts with the premise of Rav Chisda. So if the Gemara in the Hav Mina knew of Rav Chisda, that the mem in the luchos was benes, was stood benes, then the stumos are certainly menat Torah, and therefore ipso facto, when the tzofim introduced the mem, they were introducing a mem psucha. The gam airi lo le meikara bipsuchos. The Gemara, introduced a distinction between psuchos and stumos, was talking about a pasuach shaso sosum, and the flip side of sosum shaso pasuach, and there's a hutzach lahamid mansapach bipsuchos. Why? Because the Nevi'im introduced the psuchos in order lotikshi de Rav Chisda. We don't want to set up a contradiction here between Rabbi Yirmiyah and Rav Chisda, so it must be that since Rav Chisda establishes or postulates that the Stuma was already back at the time of Har Sinai, back at the time of Luchos HaBris, then it must be, therefore, that the Chiddush and the Takana of the Nevi'im was the Psuchos. But for Hacha, in contrast, our Sugya, the Gemara operates from the perspective of Rabbi Yirmiyah, and the Gemara has a suffix. We don't know what Rabbi Yirmiyah holds. Did he assume that the Sofim introduced the Psuchos or the Stumos? We're not sure about that. The Gemara therefore asks the question, V'tizbra v'aksiv elan mitzvus, v'achkushi sosiv bein v'psuchos u'bein v'stumos. Meaning no matter which way you take it, whether or not the Tzofim introduced psuchos or stumos, they certainly made a major change here in the structure of Hilchus Ksiva, and that's a violation that irritates the principle of Ein Novi Rashay L'chadish Badova. But then the Gemara asks the V'od, and now Tosfos introduces, it wedges into the Gemara a word or a phrase that doesn't appear, Imtim Tzolomar. So B'derech Imtim Tzolomar, now the Gemara asks, well, if you would assume that Mansapach Stumos Airi, because again we vacillate back and forth, then Akati Tikshe Vaha Omar Rav Chisda Mem V'samach, meaning that if the Nevi'im were introducing the Stumos, well, Rav Chisda proves that the Stumos were well known way before the Nevi'im came to the fray. So basically, to summarize, there are two opposite assumptions in the two sugyas, respectively, as to what the Nevi'im introduced in the Mem of Mansapach. Did they introduce the, and for that matter, all the other letters? Did they introduce the Stumos or the Psuchos? Why did the two sugyas operate with two different premises as to how to understand Rav Yirmiyah? And the answer is because, whereas the sugya in Shabbos begins with Rav Chisda, namely that what was known and what was, you know, engraved in the, literally engraved in the Luchos HaBris was the Mem Stuma, that's Bnei Hayu Omed, and therefore it must be that the Mansapach that was introduced by the Nevi'im was the Psuchos. Our sugya starts with Rav Yirmiyah and lays down the premise that perhaps it was the Psuchos that were introduced by the Nevi'im. I'm sorry, that it was the Stumos that were introduced by the Nevi'im. Because again, we don't have Rav Chisda at this point, so that's where the Gemara raises the objective. Well, how are you going to reconcile that with Rav Chisda? That the Stumos were already well known. It can't be, therefore, that the Nevi'im introduced the Stumos, because the Stumos, you know, predated the Nevi'im by millions of years, as we said. And now, just to finish up this sugya, so that tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem, we can start the new sugya here in Megillah. We're now on the top of Daf Gimel, Amud Aleph, and the Gemara answers in. That's the fourth word on Daf Gimel, Amud Aleph. In means here, Eino Chinam. It means the Gemara at this point will answer the second question to try to see exactly what the Nevi'im added here, according to Rabbi Yirmiyah. And the answer is Mida Hava Hava, that these osios were Enoch Hinami known back at the time of the giving of the Torah, way before the Nevi'im. So what was there for the Chiddush Takon of the Nevi'im? But Lo Aviyadi, it was unknown, even as far as the earliest time in the history of Osios, namely the time of the Luchos HaBris, is Heba Emtza Teva Veheba Sof Teva. Okay, there truly are two tsuros, two forms of the mem, but which one belongs in the middle of the word, or for that matter, the beginning of the word, and which one belongs at the end of the word? That was unknown. You know, it's in the matching here, there's no reason compelling you to go one way or the other. You know, it could very well be that the psucha belongs at the end of the word, and the stuma in the middle of the word, or at the beginning of the word. And then, asu tsofim, vitakinu, psuchim b'emtza teva, stumim b'sof teva. Now, if we stop here for a moment, again, as we'll see, the Gemara now, you know, although it's answered the second question, we still have a problem with the first question. But if we just freeze this frame of the Gemara, and we have to ask ourselves the question, what would be, after the Takana Satsofim, if he wrote a Sefer Torah, and instead of writing a psucha in the middle of a word, he wrote a stuma in the middle of a word, or vice versa? It would seem that in the light of the Takanas HaTzofim, this would passel the Sefer Torah. And in fact, that's what the Pnei Yoshua writes here. And now we have to really ask ourselves the following question. If in the post-Tzofim period of time, all the Sefer Torah that made a mistake about the psucha and the stuma would be passel, then A, what went on before the Tzofim, and what was the status of the Sefer Torah then? If they were confused about which mem goes here and which mem goes there, what exactly did they do? And secondly, and this maybe is in a certain sense even a more pressing question that the Pnei Yoshua wants to address, in the post-Tzofim period of time, what do we do with all the Sefer Torah that got it wrong? Because again, the Gemara is assuming now that before the Tzofim, they didn't know which mem belongs where. So all those Sefer Torah now became possible. So let me read to you part of the... There's a Pnei Yoshua in this sugya. There's also a Rosh Hashanah on this sugya. The Rosh Hashanah interprets this Gemara in the following way. He says that at the time of Matan Torah, even then they didn't know which went in the middle, which went in the end. which mem was here and which mem was there. But that's a little bit strange, because at the time Matan Torah, why couldn't they look at the Luchos? And presumably the mem of Mayim that was at the end of the word was a stuma, was it not? And the mem at the beginning of Mayim was a psucha. So that's a little bit confusing, to say the least. That's a missing piece in this puzzle. And the Pnei Yoshua says, and I'll quote this to you, Mukhrochim lomar shagamar sofer ke'eshe im kasav pasuk b'mokom b'sofa teva. So he wrote a psucha at the end of the teva, o sasu b'emza teva kosher. Diavi pasul, Mukhrochim lomar shoyselhem kviyus l'chol os imi b'emza teva b'sofa teva. V'rak shachachu. In other words, there's a position here that's intolerable, that cannot be intellectually maintained here, namely that all the Sifrei Torah before the Tzofim were posel. And in the light of that, the Pnei Yoshua has to introduce the fact that a shinui, going from a pasuach and replacing it with a sasum or vice versa, does not undermine the kashrus of the Sefer Torah. Now, I'm not sure why. It could be that the Gemara now, according to the Pnei Yoshua, is maintaining, like that man the Omer in Shabbos, that the change between a pasuach and a sasum is not a shinui tzuras ha'os. And the entire requirement of writing a sasum in its right place and a psuach, a psuch in its right place, is based on uksavtem ksivatama, but that's only lechatchilo, and get the change would not pasul. In Sefer Torah, likewise, it wouldn't pasul. It's not considered a fundamental shini in tzuras ha'os. So from the perspective of at least b'di'evid, in other words, leaving out the halach of ksivatama, these two forms of the mem are interchangeable. Hence, the Pnei Yoshua concludes that all these Sifrei Torah were ksherim. But if that be the case, what would it mean today in the post-Sofim period of time if you made this shinui? And maybe the Pnei Yoshua is going to say that at this juncture in the sugya, the Gemara is changing its tune and it's accepting the Man D'Omer that says that shini tzuras ha'os would apply to the case of Psucha and Stuma, that the difference between a Psucha and Stuma is so fundamental that it's a Shinui and Tzuras Ha'os, and that would passel not only a Sefer Torah, but a Get as well. But if that be the case again, we still have the question, what do we do with all the Sefer Torah that were written in the wrong way before the Tzofim, when they lived in this dark period of time where they didn't understand, they didn't know which was, you know, where to put the Stuma and where to put the Psucha. So let's just read the Pnei Yoshua. The Pnei Yoshua says that the Gemara now is reflecting the Shita of the Stoma de Braisa in Shabbos Kuf Gimel Amid Beis, Shasasim Asel Pasuach, Pasuach Asasasim Pasul. Meaning that when the Braisa says that this mistake of Pasuach and Sasum, if you interchange them, is a critical change that undermines it's a shinui tzuras ha'os change that undermines the kashrus of the sefer. That braisa reflects what the Gemara is saying now, that the tzofim established exactly where the psucha belongs and where the stuma belongs, and therefore it's going to be a psul in the sefer Torah. Hence, that leads to the next Gemara's kashrus, says the Pnei Yeshua, sof, ela mitzvus ein novi rashoi l'chadish badova. There's an absolute critical chidush here, but davar chidush halach in terms of the kashrus of the Sefer Torah, etc., etc., as a result of the takanas hatsofim. And again, this all fits into the Pnei Yoshua's perspective that up until the point of the tzofim, all the Sefer Torah were ksherim, no matter where you put the sasim and where you put the pasuah, reflecting the shita in Shabbos Perek Habona that maintains that the change between a stuma and a psucha is not a shinui tzuras ha'os. But now that the Nevi'im make an absolute takana that the psucha is in the middle of a letter and the stuma at the end of a letter, at this point, from this point and on, any shinui is considered such a fundamental shinui tzuras ha'os, reflecting the shita that sasu vaso pasuach, pasuach sasu pasul, is that irritates the principle of ein novi rashoi l'chadish badavar. Because if you can assume at this point in the sugya, even after the tzofim, we're still maintaining that this is not, that a mistake from sucha and stuma, emtsa and sof, would not be a shini tzuras ha'os, like that brisa, then why is the Gemara asking a question of ein melvi rashay l'chadish badavar? It's not a chadish badavar. If you're going to assume that Ladina, even after the Tzofim, if he wrote Pasuach at the end of a Teva, or Sosim in the middle of the Teva, the Sefer Torah is kosher. So we must assume that right now the Gemara is maintaining that in the aftermath of the Takana of the Nevi'im, there's a Shini Tzura Sa'os here if you put the Stuma in the middle of a letter or the Pasuach at the end of a letter, at the end of a word, sorry. And a Sefer Torah's Pasul, which again reflects one Shita in the Stoma de Braisa and Shabbos Kuf Gimel Amid Beis, that Sosam Asal Pasul, Pasul Sosam Sosam Pasul. And that's why the Gemara says, how do we understand this if the Nevi'im are now establishing a change in the halachic status of the Sefer Torah? That's a Shini Boy Dovah. And the Bnei Yoshua adds one more point here. And he says, Lekach Hikshu, that's why the Gemara answers, Nimsel Fi Devreim Chidush Dina She Sifrei Torah Shehoyu Biyodim Ad Ata Psulim Heim Kevin Shalok Pidu Al Kach, meaning up until this point they weren't Makpid, living under the assumption that there is no Shini Tzura Sa'os, that you could always use a Psucha here and a Stuma here, and they're both okay, they're interchangeable. Now all those Sifrei Torah written according to that creed are Psulim. And that's why the Gemara is asking, how could this be? It's a violation of Ein Novi Rashay L'Chadish Badova. Says the Pnei Yeshuv, V'af Shematzinu Harbei Tvarim Shekshayim Midoraisa Psulim Midorabonon Hainu Dafka K'sheyesh Bazat Tam O Gedro Siag Mashen Kin Hocha Mashba Sheposel Belo Shum Tam. And that's a violation of Novi Rashay Badova. Ella says the Gemara, and here's where we complete the sugya, Mirtz Hashem. Shachachum, shachachum, v'chazu v'yistam. That Enochinami, at the time of Matan Torah, this is how the Pnei Yeshua interprets it, they knew exactly that there were two fundamentally different categories of osiels for the Mantzapach. And says the Pnei Yeshua, "Afilu beis ahilo pasul sefer shekosu bo pasuah besof teva sasu besof beemtza teva." They never pasled it. Why? Because they held like that brisa that it's not a shini and tzuras ha'os. Because once again, if we're going to assume that at the time of Matan Torah they held that pasuah besof teva sasu beemtza teva is pasul, if that be the case, then it's really not possible to say shachachum, because all they have to do is open up the Sifrei Torah, and they had to be makbid to make this distinction between the location of the right location for psucha and the wrong location of psucha, the same for stuma. So all this form that they wrote before the Nevi'im would be possible if you interchange them, and then how could you say shachachum? The only way you could explain and justify shachachum, I should say, is only if you assume that the difference between sofa teva and middle of the teva is only lechatchila, but it's not b'dieved, it's not absolutely critical. And now we have shachachum, and the Nevi'im come along, and although until this point the assumption was pasul vasol sosum kosher, and that's why they weren't makbid, so you had Sifrei Torah fit into this category or that category, and it's very possible that they would write a stuma in the middle of a word, that's before the tzofim, because as we saw in Tosfos explaining the Gemara on Shabbos, there's an extra chashivas to the stuma above and beyond the psucha, that's more of a yichus, because it was in the luchos, as Rav Chisda pointed out. And the Gemara's language is Ella shchachum v'chazu v'yistam. The language Ella indicates that the Gemara changed its mind and rescinded its original position. The original position was that you could even be yotzei in a sefer Torah, you could kasha sefer Torah even if the stuma appeared in the middle of the word, and that toes would not undermine the sefer Torah for sure because of the chashivas yisera to a stuma, or alternatively, up until a certain period of time, they assumed that these two psuchos and stumas were interchangeable. What happens now with the takana of the Nevi'im is that you have to put the stuma in the right place and you have to put the psuch in the right place, otherwise the sefer is possible. Now you'll ask the question, but isn't this a violation of Ein Novi Rashay L'Chadish B'Davar? And the answer to that is going to be Shechachum V'Chazu V'Yistam. That basically what the Nevi'im are doing is they're actually correcting the Masorah, and they're reminding us of what we forgot. The mechanics of Shachachum v'chazru v'yistum is a limitation in the rule of Ein Novi Rashay L'Chadish B'Davar. This is not called a Chiddush. If the Nevi'im are just clarifying what we didn't know, that's not called a Chiddush. Now again, the Pnei Yeshua is going to have a problem because the Pnei Yeshua assumed throughout this sugya that up until the Nevi'im, if you made a switch in the psucha and you put it at the end of a word or a stuma in the middle of the word, the Sefer Torah would be kosher. That's not called the Shini Tzura Sa'os. And if that be the case, Shechachum v'chazru v'yistum is now going to be, if it's going to reflect the Shita that stuma and psucha Shini Tzura Sa'os in terms of the Eved, whether it's kosher or not, that would be a change in the halacha itself. Because again, as far as the historical period up until the Nevi'im, it was interchangeable. Or at least in one direction, you have to grant us that a stuma instead of a psucha would be kosher because the psucha has more of a yichus, more of a chashivas yisera. So how do you understand shachum as just a minor indication? You know, we're just clarifying something, but it has no halachic implications. So the Pnei Yeshua is forced to assume that even b'di'evet, if you wrote it in the opposite way, even in the maskona after the Nevi'im, it's kosher. But I would have said, and again we have to go through a lot of the achronim here to clarify this point, that on the contrary, after the Nevi'im established what they established, which is called the Gemara's language Chazru V'Yistum, then from now on a Sefer Torah will be possible. Now what you're going to do with the original Sefer Torah that, you know, lasted from the earlier generations over to the generation of the Nevi'im, I don't know. That's a very pressing question that has to be addressed, because we don't want a possible Sefer Torah, and in this case millions of Sefer Torah, based on a takon of the Nevi'im. And even if I'll grant you that it doesn't irritate and undermine the principle of Ein Novi Rashay L'Chadish B'Davar, because he's just being machzer, you know, that which we forgot. But wait a second, before we had all these Sifrei Torah that were ksherim, were they mistakenly ksherim? Maybe Enochinami. Maybe we don't possible a Sefer Torah Mafreyaf was based on a certain assumption in Psak that was correct then. Even if that psach is based on a shichacha, but in its time, it's a ksiva kshera. In the case of a sefer Torah, that was written with a stuma in the wrong place, because at that time the halacha was that these are interchangeable, and there's no psul over here. Now that the Nevi'im established that we made a mistake, and back in the time of Matan Torah, it wasn't interchangeable, but that each mem, the stuma and the psucha, were fixed in their place, chok v'lo yavar. Now, again, technically we're not going to apostle all those Sifrei Torah because of this principle that says, well, they were based, that psak halacha was based on the understanding of the halacha at that time, that these letters are interchangeable, but now we've established that that was a mistake. And from now on, mikana la'aba, not l'mafreya, anytime you repeat this mistake, the Sefer Torah is going to be possible. So that's as far as what we can get out of this sugya. And we're ready tomorrow, Mirz Hashem, for the sugya of the Omar Rab Yirmi, Tamer Rab Chiyah Bar Abba, Targum Shel Torah. So tomorrow we're going to talk about Targum. So we'll stop.